BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Mr. Morris. I'm glad to have you with us on Crosstalk today. And as we focus on all of the issues in our country, but we cannot ignore what is happening in Israel. And, of course, we have seen the newspapers, the headlines, where the former Prime Minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon, passed away at age 85. We're going to be talking about this, but a man who is in touch with the pulse of what's happening in Israel and who is a regular here on the program is David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and in the region of Samaria, known to most of the world as the West Bank. He's the founder and president of Shiloh Israel's Children's Fund, dedicated to healing the trauma of children who've been victimized with terrorist attacks. He's the author of three books, including Peace for Peace, Israel in the New Middle East, and The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama. He has some websites. I'm going to give them to you now. It's davidrubinisrael.com. That's davidrubinisrael.com. And Shiloh Israel Children. That's shilohisraelchildren.org. Write those down because you'll find lots of information as we meet our guest today. And I say welcome. So good to have you with us, David Rubin.
Thank you, Vic. Good to be with you.
Yes, sir. And I was during our break just before hitting the air here. You guys have snow over there, too.
Well, we don't have snow anymore. Here we get the snow. We get it full force. And we had a major snowstorm here a couple of weeks ago, but it's all melted by now.
Well, we hope that'll happen around here pretty soon. Well, we've got a lot of information that's going to be in this program today. And, of course, we think of the historic life of Ariel Sharon, a man who, dealing way back in, he was literally a commander in Israel's army from its creation back in 1948. Tell us more about Ariel Sharon and why does this very name arouse lots of strong opinions?
Well, Sharon was a complex figure. And I think that's something that needs to be stressed. It really isn't fair or accurate for anyone to, for political motives, to refer to him either as just a great national hero, or to conversely describe him as a national criminal. For the things that he did in his later life. Sharon was a tremendous military hero. He was one of the great generals of Israel and perhaps the greatest general of Israel. He saved Israel from destruction on countless occasions in different wars. One that comes to mind is the Yom Kippur War, on the Day of Atonement in 1973, after Israel had been surprise attacked by Egypt, and the early part of the war was what went terrible for Israel, and because it was a surprise attack, and Sharon, on his own, decided that Israel was going to surround the Egyptian army. He used some very creative military techniques. He surrounded the Egyptian army and thereby saving Israel from destruction. You have to understand, every war that Israel is in with its neighbors is a war of survival.
That's right.
And because we're a country about the size of the state of New Jersey, and we're surrounded by countless Arab countries that have a vast landmass, which dwarfs the state of Israel.
You know, David, as I was looking here at these, Mr. Sharon was literally, He was the commander of the Israel army from its creation in 48, but then it moves forward. He was instrumental figure in the creation of Unit 101, the retribution operations, as well as in 1956, the Suez Crisis, the Six-Day War in 67, and, of course, you mentioned the Yom Kippur War, and Minister of Defense he directed in the 1982 Lebanon War. So he certainly,
right.
certainly had his roots there.
That's right. He was, as I said, he was perhaps the greatest warrior in Israel's history, the greatest general warrior in Israel's history, and he taught us how to fight wars and how to fight terrorism, and frankly, the way that he took the battle to the terrorists as a soldier, and later as defense minister. He taught tremendous lessons to Israel and to the Western world, if they would just listen to those lessons.
They gave him a nickname, the King of Israel, and also the Lion of God, I think were two names that were given to him in honor of his achievements.
Well, they're not actually names that were given to him. His first name was Ariel. Ariel means a lion of God.
Oh,
literally.
Wow! Okay.
So that's where that comes from. And the media, in fact, the New York Times would and the left wing media would always quote Israelis that they would sing when Sharon would come to speak as a politician, that his followers would sing Arik. Arik was his nickname, Arik, King of Israel. Uh-huh. And they would point to that to show that he was a potential dictator and that he didn't believe in democracy, he didn't believe in freedom, he just wanted to rule like a king. Uh-huh. Which also was nonsense, because the people who would sing this to him, they would just sing a popular song. It was a popular traditional song in Israel that's been around for many, many years, which is David, King of Israel, continues to live, referring to King David, the King of ancient Israel, and so they replaced the name David with the name Arik, and they said they would sing Arik Melech Yisrael, and you know, which means Arik, King of Israel.
Oh my. Well, you say that he was
You know, that was all just a misunderstanding. But he was a great leader. He was a great soldier, and later a great politician for many years, until he became prime minister, and it all turned around.
What happened? You say that he was a great builder of the controversial settlements in Israel, but a great destroyer of settlements. How is that possible?
He was a great builder of the Jewish communities that Israel liberated in the Six-Day War, the region north of Jerusalem, Samaria, the region south of Jerusalem, Judea, and of course Jerusalem itself, the eastern part of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, where the two temples once stood. He built these areas up. He was one of the major forces in Israel's government, along with Prime Ministers Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, who built up all of the communities in Judea and Samaria and eastern Jerusalem in those liberated areas. And he was a bulldozer. Everyone knew him as a bulldozer. He pushed the building, the rebuilding of Israel's biblical heartland. And I call it the biblical heartland because those are the areas where the biblical cities and towns once existed and exist again today, partly thanks to people like Ariel Sharon. Unfortunately, when he became prime minister, he came under tremendous, tremendous pressure, both from the American administration and from the European Union, as well as from the far left in Israel. And the left-wing media was out to get him, and the left-wing judiciary was out to get him, unfortunately, there was some corruption apparently, in Sharon's past, and there were some corruption scandals that came out in the year 2003, this corruption broke, and there was a major press conference held by Ariel Sharon as prime minister, in which he tried to refute the charges, and these corruption charges were serious matters. We're talking about millions of dollars in bribery that was alleged to the Sharon family, including the prime minister himself. And Sharon tried to refute those charges. It was on all the front pages of the Israeli newspapers, and it threatened to bring down Sharon himself as well as his government. And apparently, and at least as is reported in a book in Hebrew called Boomerang, in English translation, and it was reported that a meeting was held between Sharon and his top advisors, and they spoke about ways of refuting these corruption charges, because the left-wing media was not going to let this story die. And he was concerned about himself. He was concerned about his two sons. His wife had already passed away. And it was reported that the decision was reached that Sharon would adopt the left-wing policy of his defeated rival in the elections that had just taken place a year or two before that. And that policy was to unilaterally withdraw from the Gaza Strip,
and to
just turn it over to the Palestinian Authority. That's what happened. That was a policy that Sharon adopted. On the very next day after he adopted that policy, the corruption story disappeared from the Israeli newspapers, from the Israeli media, and at that point there was only left-wing media in Israel, as far as the newspapers and radio go,
and
to a great extent television, and the story disappeared. It disappeared, and it only surfaced. It only resurfaced after Sharon had already destroyed all of the communities, the Jewish communities of the Gaza Strip and the northernmost part of Samaria, And when the story resurfaced, after 10,000 Jews had already been expelled from their homes by Sharon and had their homes destroyed by Sharon, when the story resurfaced a year later, because the police had started reinvestigating the corruption scandal, the very next day, Sharon went into a coma. He had a terrible stroke. He went into a coma, and he was in a coma for 8 years until he died.
We're with David Rubin, who's with us, and we'll be back in just 60 seconds with more on this interesting story. Focus on Israel today. Our guest, David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, will be covering more of these interesting things in just a moment. Stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence for Atlantis?
Chris, Atlantis was the mythical city which was submerged under the ocean. People living in the city adapted and finally evolved the ability to live underwater. Of course, this myth has no basis in fact. Humans could not live underwater, even if they swam in the water for generations. Nor have archaeological remains of such a mythical city ever been found. But there may be some basis in fact. The Bible says that there was a great civilization which was totally overwhelmed by water. This was, of course, the great flood of Noah's day. I wonder if the legend of Atlantis is really a faded memory of the flood. Even more interesting is that almost every culture around the world has the legend of the flood. I think all of this goes back to Genesis for truth.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Thank you. welcome back to Crosstalk. Today we're talking about the legacy of Ariel Sharon. Our guest is David Rubin, who is a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He appears on this program quite often. We're always grateful for the interesting focus that we have on Israel. And today, as we continue, David, focusing on what's happening in Israel today, John Kerry has been spending a lot of time in Israel.
Yes, he has. I thought he was going to be moving in pretty soon. I mean, he has really been here continuously. He just went back to the States a few days ago, and with good reason, because he's becoming very frustrated. He has made it clear that he is coming back again with a framework for a peace agreement that he hopes to pressure Israel and the Palestinian Authority to accept. Unfortunately, it's a peace agreement that is totally detached from reality, almost like the Iran temporary agreement. It's totally divorced from reality. Kerry has shown his ignorance, I'm sorry to say, a lack of knowledge of the Middle East and of Israel, and a lack of knowledge of the Islamic world and what its true intentions are. And it's very concerning for Israel, and in fact the defense minister of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, off the cuff said a few of the things that I'm saying right now. And unfortunately, he's a politician in Israel's government and a defense minister, so there are certain things that if he says it, it becomes a national scandal. If I say it, it's not a problem at all, because I'm not in Israel's government, and I always say totally what I think. But right now there's been a bit of an uproar, and apparently the Obama administration is demanding that Prime Minister Netanyahu condemn Defense Minister Yaalon for his comments about John Kerry's peace plan. But basically, he was just stating, the defense minister of Israel is just stating what everyone here believes, that Kerry's plan is detached from reality. He knows that this agreement cannot be accepted by Israel if Israel hopes to survive. But he's aiming for a Nobel Peace Prize. And obviously Obama is also aiming for the Nobel Peace Prize that he got and he never deserved.
Well, you know, as we look at this picture, there always seems to be only one solution, that is to dominate the land. It's land for peace, if we can put that in quotes. Yet the Islamic world has said that Israel needs to be eradicated, literally erased. There are maps that have even been made with Israel not even on them. And as
all of the maps of the Palestinian Authority do not have Israel on it. Let's state that loud and clear. It's a fact. And yes, the problem with this land for peace formula, okay, it's like John Kerry and Hillary Clinton before him, and every other Secretary of State in recent years has been like they've all been like mad scientists promoting this land for peace formula in their laboratories it just cannot possibly work. You cannot take a country the size of New Jersey, as Israel is, and divide it and cut it up into a jigsaw puzzle and hand over a big portion of it, or all of its historical places, to an armed band of Islamic terrorists that's called the Palestinian Authority. It cannot be done if you really care for the good of Israel and you really care for the good of Western civilization. It's a total mistake to do it. It's stemming from ignorance, and it's strongly, strongly, a strongly dangerous move on John Kerry's part and on the part of any world leader that would propose the Land for Peace formula. That's why I wrote my book, Peace for Peace, Israel in the New Middle East, because we need to start talking about peace for peace, not land for peace. There can't be a peace agreement in which Israel's heart, its geographic heart, is torn out from it and handed over to Islamic terrorists.
And you know, David, for decades, it's been the same thing, land for peace. I mean, just that's the formula. Kerry doesn't need to go back to the United States and come back with a framework. It'll be the same thing. You know that, and I do too. It's going to be land for peace.
Well, Kerry needs to go look at what another scientist said, and that particular scientist wasn't a mad scientist who keeps coming up with this land for peace formula. That scientist was one of the greatest scientists in world history, Albert Einstein, who said that the definition of insanity is to continue to try and to retry a formula that has failed, but to try it over and over again, hoping that it's going to work.
Coming back,
it doesn't work.
Yeah, coming back wrapped in different packages. It's the same thing inside.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly so.
Well, as we see this happening, and I know, of course, with the threat of Iran not too far away, and a lot of Christians here in this country have been praying for the peace of Israel, but with alarm of the strange new peace thing that was cooked up for Iran, which is the strangest concoction I've ever heard, it doesn't seem realistic. I mean, that men who are graduates of colleges and universities and political organizations and logic will come up with some of these crazy ideas, thinking that people with a terroristic mindset are suddenly going to become peaceful.
Well, that's very true. It's not by accident that my second book is called The Islamic Tsunami.
Mm.
And why did I call it the Islamic tsunami? Because it is like a tsunami. It's just spreading wildfire throughout the world, and people aren't prepared to stand up against it. Now, all you have to do, if you doubt that there is an Islamic tsunami going on in the world, all you have to do is listen to what the leader of Iran says. And the leader of Iran, by the way, is not this guy Rouhani, who isn't such a great sheikh himself. The leader of Iran is the Ayatollah Khamenei, who calls for the exporting of the Islamic Revolution, the exporting of the Islamic Revolution throughout the world. He says it clearly. He doesn't hide it. And I think that it behooves all of us to listen to what he is saying. And he's not alone.
The books that you've written, David, let's remind folk where they can get them. Again, the three books that you've written, Peace for Peace. I mean, this is absolutely well described, as you've put it that way today. You can't exchange peace for something else. That's bribery. That's purchase. But peace is something that's given, and peace is something that has to come from a heart that's right. And as long as there's an attitude of terrorism, you're going to find people looking for 14 ways to get around it to accomplish their selfish goals.
We know that from personal relationships. A wife cannot have a good marriage with a violent husband.
Mm. Right.
And, it's just not possible. There have to be good intentions by both partners.
That's right.
And that's not the situation that we have in the Middle East today.
Can you tell us what would be the best routing for people to get your books?
The best thing is to go right to the website, davidrubinisrael.com.
Okay.
Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N. davidrubinisrael.com. And they can go in there, they can They can listen to some great radio interviews and some television interviews and with me, and hear me talking about all of the issues in the news in this part of the world, and they can also go to the book site on that same website, and they can order the books directly from there. DavidRubinIsrael.com.
We're going to open our phone lines, too. We'd like you folks to know that it's possible to talk with our guests today. Lines are open at 800-733-9829, and it's toll-free from anywhere on the planet, internationally. If you're in another country, you simply dial our country code and the number 800-733-9829. We've had people in the Fiji Islands, we've had people in Europe, in England, all over the world, literally Australia, New Zealand, people calling in that listen. And I know the hour of this release is sometimes different, as it is with you, David. What time is it in Israel right now?
Oh, right now it's almost 10:30 here.
P.M.
In the evening.
P.M., yes. Well, our telephone lines are light. In fact, they're all lit up. They are all lit up, and we'll be having callers very shortly. Now, when you see the credibility of the United States in the Middle East at this time, how do you see it? I mean, is the United States looked at as strong and its leadership is strong? With all the equivocation that's gone on, it raises a question.
Well, I wish that I could say that the United States was still a leader of the free world, but it's increasingly being looked at as sort of a caricature of itself.
Mm.
I don't take any pleasure in saying that, by the way. I was born and raised in the United States, and I still hold the United States of America dear to my heart. But the fact is that there has been a very confusing signal coming out of Washington for a long time, and that signal says that the free world is not going to be supported by the United States. That says that Islamic terrorism is going to be ignored by the United States.
Hmm.
And that same signal that comes out from Washington today, from the Obama administration, says that that America will not stand with its allies, and that's a very troubling message coming from the world leader.
We're coming up on a break shortly, but we can start with our calls coming in. Joseph in Pensacola, Florida. And Joseph, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to know, I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida, how close will David be speaking at, where I can come hear him personally?
Well, he's in Israel right now.
Pensacola, Florida, Panama City, along here.
David, you coming to the U.S. soon?
Yes, actually, it's interesting that he's asking that question, because I actually will not be that far from Pensacola, Florida. I'm going to be on March 1st. I'll be speaking in Lake City, Florida, and I think it's a couple of hours from there. And also down in Orlando. So I would invite anyone who is interested in finding out more about where I will be speaking to go to my Facebook page, which is david.shiloh.israel, and send me a message. I'd be happy to respond.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book, Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, micro lenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
And welcome back to Crosstalk, and our guest today, David Rubin, live from Israel. And David, you mentioned your Facebook page, and we kind of came up on the break there. Why don't you give that address one more time?
Okay, the address for the Facebook page is david.rubin.shiloh.israel. And as I said, anyone who wants to find out more about my speaking appearances in the States, particularly in the month of March and onward into the spring, can just go to the Facebook page. And if it's not announced on the page itself, they can send me a message, and I'd be happy to respond with specific information about where I'll be.
Right now we have Mason standing by in Mauston, Wisconsin. And Mason, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is, I agree with him, land for peace is crazy. You know, if the United States want land for peace, why don't they give up Washington, D.C.? There's many of us Americans that feel that's an underused tract of land. I mean, we said something like that, America would be in an uproar, and we were supposed to expect people from Israel to not be. It's crazy. Why would you even entertain a stupid comment like that? I'll hang up now, and God bless you people.
Okay, thank you, Mason. Yeah, would people saying things of that nature, and talk about on your, we've even heard rumbles about certain states, if things don't change, they're ready to, I mean, this is just a report that came across a number of states that are considering seceding from the Union. Well, whether that's true or simply gossip or chatter, I'm not sure, but at this point, let's move to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and talk with Kevin. And Kevin, you're on the air with David Rubin.
Hey, David. Hi, Vic. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, my question was, in the Bible, what land was prescribed to Israel? And I think Israel should have all of it because I believe what the Bible says. I mean, I think it's like from the Euphrates to somewhere else. I'm not exactly sure where, but why doesn't Israel have all that land? Because it does belong to them because God gave it to them.
David?
Yes, well, I can't disagree. Look, it says very clearly in the Bible, which is our national history book, that Israel will eventually have the land from the Euphrates River, which runs through a country called Iraq that many of your listeners may have heard of, and goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea and up to Lebanon. And up and into Lebanon and down to the Nile River of Egypt. So those are the biblical borders. And interestingly, in my book, Peace for Peace, Israel in the New Middle East, I suggest a peace plan in the last chapter, which I call Peace for Peace. And in that peace plan, I mention that Israel's borders need to be, for now, as part of this peace plan, from the Mediterranean River, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River, which includes, of course, Judea, Samaria, Eastern Jerusalem, the so-called West Bank, but doesn't include all the way to the Euphrates. You know, as you know, God does create opportunities.
That's
and
right.
The Six-Day War was one great opportunity, which we partially seized for, and Israel's borders were increased as a result of that, and returned to their you know, the proper cities, the cities of Shiloh and Beit El and Hebron and all of the biblical cities like Bethlehem. Those areas came back into Israel's hands. Unfortunately, we gave away some of them subsequently as part of the Oslo so-called peace process. And eventually those areas, those biblical areas, will be returned to Israel one way or another. I'm not suggesting that we attack Jordan. I'm not suggesting that we attack Egypt. But ultimately, Israel will be restored to its proper borders. Anyone who believes in the truth in the Bible has to believe that, and anyone who believes in prophecy has to believe that.
Kevin, thank you. From Oshkosh, Wisconsin, we go to Carl in Lake Delton, Wisconsin. Carl, you're on the air.
May the Holy Spirit of God bless both of your ministries.
Thank you.
When Sharon signed over the Gaza Strip, how soon after that did he go into a coma? And do you believe this is Psalm 83, which is the Confederation of Nations that are going to attack Israel? I believe that's right around the corner. What do you think about that? The 67 war, the 18 and a half to one against them, six times the armament, the 73 war, 23 and a half against them, nine times the armament. The Bible says in the end times, the angel Michael will fight for the children of Israel. And I believe that Psalms 83 is just right around the corner. What do you think?
Well, we seem to be getting closer to that. I'm not quite sure. There are a lot of different prophecies that refer to the nations of the world coming against Israel. I'm not sure exactly which one we're in right now, and how soon we'll be in each of them. What I do know is that that every withdrawal that Israel makes from the land of Israel, any portions of the land of Israel, has only brought destruction in its wake. And unfortunately, Sharon became the individual who withdrew from, who operated the biggest withdrawal in Israel's history. And we see the rockets that have been fired on Israeli cities and towns in the Negev Desert, where ironically Sharon lived. And he has a farm in the Negev Desert just a few miles from the Gaza Strip. And there were a couple of rockets fired on the Negev Desert from the Gaza Strip during Sharon's funeral, which is, greater irony on top of that.
We're going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and talk with Larry standing by. Hey, Larry.
Hey, yeah.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to offer some encouragement to your guests there. There are many of us out here that pray for Israel every day, and we love Israel. We know that we serve the same God. And I, for one, am real thankful that Netanyahu is the prime minister during this time. I just say, stand your ground and hold on, because God's with you. And he is really the one that's in control right now, not some of these people in Washington.
Mm. Yep. Well, I echo the caller's sentiments. I think that he's praying in the right direction. We need to be praying that Israel and that Israel's leaders will make decisions in biblically consistent ways.
Mm. Absolutely.
Thank you, Larry. From Chattanooga, Tennessee, we go to Madison, Wisconsin, and talk with Randy. Randy, you're on the air.
Yes, David, I wanted to ask you a question concerning Rabbi Kaduri, who died in 2006 at the age of 108. He predicted that Jesus was going to be coming after the death of Ariel Sharon. Mm. It sounds like it has been covered up and denied. But I guess he was really a well-respected rabbi. Like I said, lived to 108 years old. What do you know of all this, David?
Referring to that, yes, there was a rabbi who did make a statement about the Messiah, and he said that he will be the Yeshua, which is a Hebrew word, and Christians interpret that to mean that he was referring to Jesus, because Jesus' Hebrew name was Yeshua. But in Jewish usage, we commonly refer to Yeshua, which means salvation. And it's a word that existed long before Jesus was born. this rabbi clearly seemed to be referring to the salvation of Israel, that the Messiah was going to bring that salvation. And we agree with our friends in the Christian world that the Messiah will bring salvation to the world. Who he will be, that remains to be seen. Obviously, there are theological differences between Jews and Christians when it comes to the coming of the Messiah, or as Christians would say, the coming back of the Messiah. We will see. That's all going to be clear in the end times.
Randy, thank you from Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to, Pensacola, Florida, another caller. And Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know, since Israel, they're surrounded by enemies, how exactly are the Jordanians treating you guys right now?
Vic, I didn't quite get the question.
Would you repeat the question one more time, okay?
Yes. How do the Jordanians treat Israel right now?
How do the Jordanians treat Israel right now?
Well, the King Abdullah of Jordan is playing a very careful game. He realizes that he is under very big threat from Islamic fundamentalism, and that he will benefit from having a quiet, cooperative relationship with Israel. In the Islamic world, it's not acceptable to be a friend of Israel's. And he's very careful. He's looking over his shoulder all the time at the Islamic fundamentalists who would love to overthrow him.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate your question from Pensacola. Navarre, Florida. We've got a lot of Florida callers today. And Rick, you are on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to reinforce Mr. Rubin's contention that Land for Peace is a disaster.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to talk closer to your phone, and that way we won't get this distortion, okay? Talk real close.
All right, is that better?
200% better.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'd like to reinforce Mr. Rubin's contention that Land for Peace is a disaster strategy for Israel, not only because of Israel's small size, but if one looks at the recent past, a previous ally of the United States, the Republic of Vietnam, as a result of the 1973 peace accords, the U.S. government pressured the TU government into accepting dozens, scores of little zones of influence that the North Vietnamese Army retained in South Vietnam, essentially a land for peace strategy, and that resulted in the disastrous invasion and collapse in 1975. Please encourage Prime Minister Netanyahu to oppose land for peace. It would be a disaster for Israel and for the U.S. in the long run.
David?
Well, I've certainly been trying to do that in every chance I have that I can speak out. And I did send him a copy of my book, Peace for Peace. We're trying to encourage changing the basic premises on which the peace process has been based. Up to this point, it's been based on land for peace. It's been based on appeasement of our enemies. And I think that we need to start talking about a peace process that will be based on biblical principles, on historical precedent, and on common sense, which, believe it or not, it hasn't been based on any of those three premises up to this point.
We'll be back in 60 seconds. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In our series, we pick up on Twisted Scripture number 22, Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are we to work out our own salvation? Is this verse teaching that we are to earn our salvation? No, because Scripture must confirm Scripture. Scripture cannot contradict Scripture. And Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9 says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what is being said in Philippians 2, 12 is that we are to work out or be involved in ongoing obedience and faithfulness. This is really the sanctification process, to be set apart for God's purpose. We see this repeated in places like 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, where we discipline our body and bring it into subjection, working out our salvation, sanctification, faithfulness, and obedience.
And so glad to have you with us today. David Rubin with us live from Shiloh, Israel. And we're talking about what's happening there with the passing of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Passed away at age 85 in a coma for 8 years. Yes, there are disappointments in some of the things that he did. He was known as a great warrior. Some mistakes or some directions which certainly have raised controversy. But our guest today, David Rubin, is not only concerned, as you look back historically, but looking forward as to what's happening in Israel. And we see the continual harping by those who are seeking to build a framework for peace, and just bringing back the same thing, land for peace, just putting different decorations and wrappings on the same thing over and over again. Right now we're going to go to Olney, Illinois. And Olney, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. The Palestinians have been trying to get themselves a state there. And I would say to Israel, don't ever let them try to make that a state. They're the squatters. It's in the government law somewhere where they've been into court and granted Israel all of their own country. That is all their country. And the Palestinians are just squatters, and since they're Islamics, they're the trouble. I would shove them if I'm going to take somebody out of the world. I'd bomb them off the face of the earth before I'd ever have anything happen to the Jewish people. And as for us not being friends with the Jewish people, we are. Our Savior came from that country, and they're precious to us. And it's Obama that's talking against two faces and trying to make them think we're not their friends. That's his doing.
Dorothy, thank you. From Olney, Illinois. David? We also have a caller coming from Milwaukee, and his name is Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you very much. I got two quick questions. Do they still have the kibbutz where a number of Jewish families live together and share? One of my friends from Milwaukee's sister went and did that. And also over the years, I heard with Ariel Sharon that he was in a medically induced coma. And this happened to a relative of mine. I asked, is there any meds causing a state of somnolence and sleep? And the nurse said, that's an interesting question. Hmm. Well, they reduced those meds, and she came out and began to communicate coherently. God bless you, and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
You've raised interesting questions. Mike, David, your response.
Thank you. And the question again was?
Well, they wondered if the 8 years of coma was chemically induced or this was simply a physical reaction.
No, it was a physical reaction to a massive stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the whole story of Sharon and his coma and it possibly being a reaction to the story that had come out about his corruption. I really can't speak about that. That only God knows.
Our telephone number, 800-733-9829. Got some open lines. We do have a few moments here before we leave. Got time for at least one or two more good calls. 800-733-9829. David, let's go back to your website where people can, number one, learn more about your book, also your organization there as well.
Okay, well, the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, to find out about what we do, healing the trauma of terrorism of children in Israel, the way to get information or to donate is through that website, which is Shiloh, S-H-I-L-O-H, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. That's Shiloh Israel Children.org. And of course, the website to find out more information about my books and to hear some great media appearances is davidrubinisrael.com. That's David Rubin, Rubin spelled R-U-B-I-N, davidrubinisrael.com. And, of course, there's the information about my latest book, Peace for Peace, and the previous two books, The Islamic Tsunami and God, Israel, and Shiloh.
David, your children's ministry happened because you and your little son were actually attacked by terrorists.
Well, that's true. This terrorist attack took place as we were coming back from Jerusalem. Our car was ambushed by Islamic terrorists, and my three-year-old son was wounded. I was also wounded, but he was shot in the head, and the bullet that went through my son's head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter, and he miraculously survived that terrorist attack. But he was 3 years old at the time.
David, I'd hate to interrupt, but I have one more call coming from England. And if you don't mind, we'll quickly try to get that in there. Robert, okay. You're on the air with David Rubin.
Hi, it's just a quick shalom, and it's always a joy to hear you. And I was very entertained the other day when Tamar Yonah was talking to one of her guests, and they were discussing Kerry's frequent visits and saying he might save some money if he didn't stay in the hotel, that he bought a flat there. And they commented, he can't buy a flat in Jerusalem. He's no idea who it belongs to.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's true. He hasn't. He has not recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And when you know, his sidekick, Vice President Joe Biden, was quite critical of Israel and the building of apartments in Jerusalem. So I don't think that Kerry would be willing to buy one of those apartments. He might be accused of recognizing the state of Israel.
Robert, thank you so much. We're out of time. Glad we got that in there. Thanks, Robert. From Birmingham, England, we are coming to the end of our program. I want to say, David, it's always a privilege to have you with us. And we kind of think of you as our Israeli correspondent there.
Well, I'm always happy to be on your show, Vic. And I enjoy corresponding with you and speaking to all of your listeners.
Well, that's
a pleasure as always.
That's it for today. Thank you so much, David. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on another edition of Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.